This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Iowa LSU, T-minus 2 hours. The game of the night, will it be the game of the tournament? It's a dream rematch. What's past is prologue. What's future is history. Also, the fours that have a little finality to them. With Kalischuk, Cronin, McNutt, Isola, where have you been all my life? Frank, thanks for filling in when I was gone. Here's your bonus points for that. CeCe, I heard you got a win in that time. Kalischa, heard you got a loss.
Here. Mm-hmm. I was here. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk tournament. UConn, a buzzsaw. Purdue, a redemption tour. Alabama, rising tide, and NC State. Well, that's the stunner of this year's tournament. The 11 getting to the Final Four, and all four have inspiring runs. UConn's threat to repeat, an enormous storyline. And how about this, too? Edie, Burns, Klingon, the rebirth of the Mastodon in college basketball. No need for ladders when they cut down the net. It is a tournament of superlatives and exclamations. This isn't your first rodeo. This isn't your first bracket national battle. Courtney Cronin, around the horn to you. Who's had the most impressive run?
This is going to come across potentially as sacrilegious given where I went to school, Tony, but the run that Purdue is on to get themselves into the Final Four, first time in 44 years, changing the perception around this program, but like you just said, showing the role that big men play in today's college game, the way that Zach Edey put this team on his 7'4" frame and said, come with me, we're getting into the place that we weren't able to get 5 years ago. 40 points yesterday, 16 boards in that block. When you have two All-Americans going up at the rim, 34 seconds left after Edey misses those two free throws, the block that he had on Dalton Connect, maybe the career-defining moment for him as a Boilermaker. And I want to bring up 5 years ago for a second, because we all know that Purdue entered this tournament coming off this loss to a 16 seed last year. The last time they had a chance to get into the Final Four, they lost to Virginia. Virginia went from a 2018 first-round exit to 2019 champion, the path that Purdue is looking to go on as well.
Monica McNutt, most impressive run to the Final Four.
I think it's got to be NC State for me, Tony. I mean, I love what Alabama has been able to do in terms of gelling and probably the least talked about of the four. But NC State is like our darling. DJ Burns, so much personality. I mean, how often do you get a guy that is captivating the attention of a two-time MVP and Nikola Jokic prior to a game saying that he likes his footwork and he likes his game? This team has answered the call every time they had to. Literally, Kevin Keats' job was on the line, and that goes back to their conference tournament.
Okay. So that's a vote for NC State to go with Purdue. Frank, you're shaking your head. No, I know where this is going. Most impressive run so far.
I mean, come on. I understand we're in a box, but don't try to think outside the box. Stay in the box, and that's UConn. They have been absolutely dominant. They have a 10-game tournament winning streak, and they've won every game by at least 13 points. And let's remember, speaking of the Big Ten, Illinois is an outstanding offensive team. Terrence Shannon may have been the best offensive player left in the tournament. He went 2-for-12. There was a 30-0 run in that game. And, Tony, you mentioned Klingon, Donovan Klingon. Do you realize that on contested shots, Illinois was 0-for-19? You tell me the team that's going to beat UConn. UConn has been they're not just winning, they're steamrolling their opponents.
And now, Tim Kalischa, I ask for your most impressive run to the Final Four.
Tony, when you're searching for greatness, you usually look through the path that goes through Dallas. That'll get you where you want to go. That is NC State. I was sitting courtside Friday night and Sunday.
Inside information.
Hiding my Diet Coke in my little NCAA cup like you have to do. Really enjoyed watching DJ Burns. And, you know, on Friday night, DJ Burns scored 4 points. So, because Marquette did a good job. So what did he do? He had a career-high 8 assists. Yes. And he whipped the ball all over the court to open three-pointers, but yesterday just destroying the young Filipowski and bringing NC State into the Final Four. They're not just an 11th seed. They were 10th in the ACC. And maybe in this era of huge conferences, we're going to have more of this.
Maybe.
But I doubt there's been very many 10 seeds from conference tournaments find their way to the Final
Four. That's nine straight win or you're home games for NC
all of
State.
Them. And the way they the Virginia play. Game, yeah. including that Virginia game where if Virginia hits a free throw with 4 seconds left,
they don't
the
get
game
that,
over.
That.
And then O'Connell
at the horn and then the overtime win. You're right. I mean, they just the way they mug you, they're like humidity. That's how. That's what they did to Duke. They just choked them out of that game. All right. We've been horned, and now we get to tonight. Game of the night, game of the season, the rematch everybody wanted. And we're not getting it for the championship, yes, we're getting it to get to the Final Four, but let's just live in this for a second. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are now saying, and having to say, that they don't hate each other. Of course they don't hate each other, but shh, this is magnificent. The polarizing nature of these two teams is what we love about it, right? So Clark's run at the Pantheon, which is all in play tonight, and Kim Mulkey and LSU's attempt to go back-to-back. And the last week of articles about the program, the Washington Post, the LA Times, I love your take on both of that. The heat here is strokey. Heat strokey. I hope it'll last. This is incredible stuff, Monica. What's the number one thing that decides tonight?
Oh, man, Tone. I think if you got to pick a spot, it's going to be what happens in the paint. LSU is crazy on defense. They're fourth in the country in terms of offensive rebound percentage. They get to the free throw line the most in the country with around 27 attempts. If they can dominate the glass, they win. Now, the counterpoint of that is if Iowa can shoot the basketball and shoot it cleanly, well, they're one of the best teams, the best team in the country in terms of the 3-point shots that they get up, where LSU doesn't shoot the three as well. So, to me, it's going to come down to the paint. Will it be physicality or will it be a little more finesse in this one? I can't wait.
Frank Isola, number one thing you're looking at here to decide tonight's game.
The way Kim Mulkey and her players go after stories written about them, that's the way they're going to go after Iowa tonight. And they're going to make things really tough for Caitlin Clark. I think a big thing, Hannah Stolke, who's the center for Iowa, has had a really good year. So Caitlin Clark will score. Even if she misses a lot of shots, she can still pick you apart with your passing. Hannah Stolke has to stay out of foul trouble because LSU is just so good. I find it hard to believe LSU, as tough as they are, how physical they are going to lose tonight. But the role players for Iowa are going to have to play one of their best games of the season in order to survive.
Mm-hmm. Tim Kalischer, number one thing that decides tonight.
You know, I'm with Frank. Even though Iowa is the one seed, I kind of look, and the line is 1.5. That means basically it's an even game. I kind of look at LSU because of last year and the way they play as the slight favorites. I think it comes down to the three-point shooting, not of Caitlin Clark, but the other Iowa shooters who have been good in the tournament. They are the ones who are going to have to step up against that LSU perimeter defense and make it happen.
That sounds like a second vote for role players here from both Kalischer and Isola, which I love. I love when we get to the big game and you have super-duper stars and everybody then tries to go out of their way to tell me, oh, it's the role players that are the most important. Courtney Cronin, to you.
I just want to put a disclaimer out there first. There will be trash talking. It might get chippy. This was a big storyline from last year's game. If you don't like it, don't watch. And there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this product because this is the best of the best. And for me, it comes down to the physicality Monica was talking about in the post. So that's Anissa Morrow and that's Angel Reese. They are a dominant front court force, potentially the best remaining in this tournament. Can they dominate down low and can they force Iowa into taking some bad shots? Caitlin Clark was 3 of 11 from 3 again in the game against Colorado. She did pour on 29 off those 2-point jumpers and the 15 assists that she had that night. But if LSU can follow that formula and also expect those contributions from number 4, Flaje Johnson was terrific against UCLA. The block that she had late, 60% from the field in 3 games this season, that's going to be a key to a Tigers win.
All right, so we hear about pressure in games. And of course, Caitlin Clark has played with pressure every game she's played. She's the number one focus. And this is yet another game to elevate her to the Pantheon, as I just said. And of course, there's pressure for the defending champs. But there's also motivation. And then there's also how people talk about both of these teams. Honestly, they've been polarizing. I want your take on that, Monica, especially LSU and the articles of the last 2 weeks.
So, the LA Times article is like, you're trying to get too cute. You're going into a very unhealthy place. It's just, it was unacceptable. And I'm glad that head coach Corey Close apologized for retweeting and the whole thing. The Washington Post article, to me, was just a little bit more of the inside, the inner workings of Kim Mulkey, which I found interesting. There was some new reporting in it, but it felt like a lot of it was aggregated between the books of Brittany Griner and Kim Mulkey herself. Yeah. I do wonder, though, when you talk about the clash tonight, has Iowa had the opportunity to focus a little bit more on them internally as opposed to LSU having to deal with more outside noise?
Courtney, you want to address that?
I do, because it felt like whiplash over the last week or so, where Kim Mulkey comes out and attacks the Washington Post story that hadn't even dropped yet. Then we read it. Like Monica said, this was a normal profile that paints the picture of a complicated individual who's at the top of her craft. It really wasn't anything to be upset about. But then hours later, after beating UCLA, she rightfully went after the Los Angeles Times columnist, a person who covers the UCLA Bruins, for derogatory language. Bigoted language, coded language that was within that lead that eventually got changed in that story, and then got everybody seemingly back onto her side. It's a weird time where people, a lot of coaches in the NCAA, have complained about articles they have not read, Kim Mulkey included, but just the dichotomy of all of that within a 48-hour
stretch.
Well,
there's something you guys tell me all the time on the show. Both things can be true at all times, but only one thing could be true tonight about a winner of the game. I need a pick. Tim Kalisha, who you got?
Tonight, LSU wins and ESPN cries.
Oh, I don't know. Why do you even sound so deflated about that? Courtney Cronin.
I've got LSU tonight.
Monica McNutt.
I'm going to go Iowa. Ooh.
Why did it sound like you hadn't thought I was going to ask you that question when I was like, new information just came to my mind. I saw who you got.
I'm also upset about stories that I haven't read and haven't come out yet. I'm going to pick LSU to survive.
All right, that's three for LSU, one for Iowa. UConn, USC, the other game for that final spot in the four. I'll get your pick on that in a second. The game is in Portland, which had the three-point line debacle this weekend. I mean, you can look at the court. People were telling me I didn't notice. How could you not notice? Look at that. It was 9 inches, the NCAA today said. I'm shocked the coaches elected to play through. But hearing Vic Schaefer say only in the women's game this would happen, I want your view of that as well, Frank. What was this?
Yeah, I'm not buying that. I've been at plenty of NBA games where the players are shooting before a game, then they'll wave the maintenance crew out and say, the rim looks off, they measure it, and it's wrong. Clearly, the maintenance crew putting this court down screwed up. But how is an NCAA official, the referees, why aren't they measuring the rim? Why aren't they measuring the three-point line? That's a failure there. I know I'm going to get killed for this. I don't think it's a referendum on how people feel about the women's game.
Monica?
I'm sorry, I don't buy that.
Frank, get ready to get killed. I mean, I wish you were right, but in the NBA, guys are dunking and hanging on the rims. The rims could happen that way. But you would not see this in the men's NCAA tournament because they would not allow it to slip under the wayside. There are so many eyeballs that are making sure that these courts and these facilities are prepared. You wouldn't see it. It would only slip when you're talking about women, unfortunately.
I hate that this happens in the women's game. We'll remember 2 years ago, the weight room debacle. You'd think that there would be necessary precautions taken, so this isn't center stage. Outside of the on-court product, the women's tournament has kind of been a zoo, whether it's the Kim Mulkey going after the media situation, whether it's what happened with the West Virginia and Iowa officiating, the official that had to be removed at halftime of the Chattanooga and NC State game because of her affiliation with the school that I guess she didn't disclose. Who knows? And then the nose ring game. Which was just, something that was completely
That's fair point, Courtney. They were worried about a nose ring. They didn't even know the three-point line. Tim Kalisha, last word on this. We have to run.
I will say it does. Things like this do happen more in the women's game, but I am stunned as much as players warm up for a long time before the game, before their teams come out. They're out there shooting around. How did nobody take some shots around the top of the key and say, wow, this looks short.
All right, I need a pick.
Wow, this is long.
UConn
long.
Or
9 inches.
USC, who you got, Frank?
UConn.
Monica.
Paige Beckers.
USC.
Courtney Cronin.
Juju and USC.
Tim Kalisha.
We need Gino Auriemma and Kim Mulkey at the Final Four. UConn.
Hire yourself next.
Get them both.
And Danny Hurley.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
NC State. All they do is make the Final Four. So both men and women's program in the Final Four. UConn, by the way, in play for that as well tonight. Incredible. And now South Carolina. All they do is make Final Fours, plural, four straight. Had to fight off Oregon State a bit. So now two hard-nosed wins recently. Fully acknowledge the hilarity that I'm going to ask a 36-0 team having hard-nosed wins and being maybe vulnerable. But Tim Kalish Show, what do you buy, what do you sell from South Carolina to the Final Four again?
I'm buying that they're the best team in women's college basketball, but not by the margin that UConn is the best team in men's college basketball. This is the first, this weekend, they got away from their home court. You know, we have that whole thing with the NCAA women playing on their home court the first two games. They beat Oregon State. Oregon State was within four with 4 minutes to go. They shot 33% against Oregon State. And then they led a big lead against Indiana, 22 points, get dwindled down almost to nothing and won the game by four. So these are much closer calls against teams that they should have beaten more handily. I think they are very beatable, even if they're the best team next week.
Courtney Cronin?
The word I think is proper here to use is vulnerable. There was a moment as Dawn Staley was going to the handshake line after the Indiana game where she looks up almost to say, phew, glad we were able to get by the Hoosiers there. And as you know, Tim just pointed out, that game was close with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. This is a very, very good team. They're undefeated for another back-to-back season. But the amount of talent that they lost from last year's group, four seniors who went 129-9 during their time there, this is Dawn Staley's best coaching job she's done to still have a team that she can go 9 or 10
deep. But you and Tim say vulnerable, which surprises me with a team that is, hello, 36-0. Monica McNutt, to you. What are you buying? What are you selling from South Carolina?
I mean, to be fair, the results are why we play the game. Like, anything could happen. However, I'm going to argue that this South Carolina squad, unlike last year's team to a degree, although they were pushed at times during the course of the regular season, is building up the necessary and requisite scar tissue so that if they are in tight games, they can continue to find a way. You look at Bree Hall, who was someone who was an important role player on last year's squad, the experience of being denied after that team nearly ran the table. You look at these freshmen, to Courtney's point, that Dawn Staley is coaching up in a big-time way. And Camila Cardoso, y'all, she's 6'7". She's shooting better than 50% from the field. They got to keep going to her. I like their chances.
I like the way you said that. They're building up scar tissue while not losing games, clearly. Frank Isola, on your view of how they've handled maybe the last two games.
You know how many coaches in the country wish they were as vulnerable as South Carolina? All they do is win. And it seems like, now maybe on a national level, it doesn't seem like the pressure is on them for being undefeated, because we're spending so much time talking about the stars on other teams. Let's face it, Cardoza is a great player, but the star of South Carolina is their coach, and they've done a great job. They lost five starters in their one of their key backups, and they're still undefeated. You got to be a little lucky. Let's remember that game against Tennessee in the SEC. I think that was the semifinal where Tennessee decided not to defend on the final possession. So you get a little lucky along the way of being undefeated, but I'm not worried about that team at all. They're two wins away. I have a funny feeling they're going to get those two wins.
Sounds like, Tim, you'd be willing to say South Carolina or the field, remaining six teams, you would take the field, though. You're putting a little pause on South Carolina. Okay.
I'm taking the field. Yeah, I've got you.
Look at those scores today. Isola Cronin, big numbers. Those are great scores. Kalishaw McNutt, that's going to be our showdown next. Capable.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It appears acquiring Juan Soto is a pretty good business decision. Yankees 4-game sweeping the Astros in Houston. Soto won two with a hit, one with a throw. He's hitting .529. Fully acknowledge the hilarity that four games in 162 could mean anything, but how much do four games mean, Tim Kalishaw?
Well, they mean a lot when you're playing a team that has knocked you out of the playoffs several times. And you're doing it on the road. Soto hasn't had that first swing at that very inviting right field porch in Yankee Stadium. He's going to have a monster season. He might even help the Yankees compete with Baltimore.
Monica McNutt.
Well, four games might mean a lot. I mean, they missed the playoffs by seven last year. So, I mean, you can do the math however you feel. But it does. It's a good sign for the Yankees in terms of Soto helping them get off on the good foot. The DJ LeMahieu foot injury and then all the other injury scares. Like, it's a good sign. It's momentum.
Momentum. Momentum, she says, in game four of the 162-game season. Kalishaw gets the point. LeBron's night last night. Explain to me how this is possible. He had 40 on 13 of 17 with 9 of 10 threes, 5 of 6 free throws. It was his best true shooting game of his career. Afterwards, quote, "I don't have much time left, Monica." Monica, if he just had the best true shooting game of his career, should we really be saying, "I don't have much time left"? How do you hear that from LeBron?
Tony, this was a total savor me while you still got me. Y'all see what I just did? Although, I'm also very proud of King James for not invoking the name of his son so we could dissect whether or not he's actually going to be drafted while he's still in the league.
Tim Kalishaw.
For those of us who are very reluctant to use the phrase, "I don't have much time left," hard to hear it from LeBron, but I think what we're hearing is something that sets him up for later, like maybe a first-round collapse by the Lakers, and all the talk is, well, is LeBron coming back? How much more is he going to play? Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
There is a job opening at USC right now. Maybe he has eligibility. He'll go back and coach, Bronny. All right, Kalishaw 2, McNutt, -1. That means Monica McNutt, today's winner. That's how we do it. April Fools again.
Yo, the April Fools of it all is really getting to me. All right, so the NCAA tournament is underway. NC State women into the Final Four. Congratulations. They have a teammate, Jana Aissa, who wears a hijab. She was the first in the ACC to wear a hijab. One of two women wearing the hijab in the NCAA tournament. Shout out to the woman that did it about a decade ago in Memphis for the first time in the tournament. But I love to see it, the diversity with depth in the NCAA tournament. Shout out to those women representing their culture and their religion in a great way.
So Muhammad Diarra yesterday fasting for Ramadan during NC State's win as well. That's it for today. See you tomorrow.